He was having a problem. You see, for years he had been kind of the workforce of their law firm. He had taken on the most challenging cases. He had been the one who had won the most illustrious judgments on behalf of that firm. But as he reached the age of 88 years old, he began to realize that his junior partners just did not appreciate him the way they ought to have, and he began to realize that they were diverting the tough cases around him and assigning them to other people. So at the end of the year, Harry made a decision. It was time for him to retire, and he gathered all of his folks together and let them know that at the end of the year, he would be completing his practice at his law firm and establishing a brand new one. And that's exactly what he did. The first case that Harry argued was on behalf of the widow of a man who had been killed by a drunk driver in an automobile accident. And the widow wanted to make the claim that because of the death of her husband, the insurance company should pay her to penalize this individual because of the loss of future income that her husband represented. The company was arguing that that really was not a legitimate claim, and the reason they said was because the man was 72 years old when he died, and they said essentially he had no future earning value. And so they went to court, and here was this big insurance firm representing facing off with the attorney of the widow of a man who had died, who was 88 years old, arguing his first case for his brand new law firm. And the company settled out of court for $1 million. Harry was off to a fresh, new beginning. The first case for many yet to come and for years yet to go. You know, we all need new beginnings sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we need to know this is time for fresh starts. That's why I like the idea of a new year so much, because every year at the end of one year, we kind of get to let go of the regrets and the failures and the disappointments of the past year, but we also get to take the successes and the achievements and we kind of put them aside as well, and we start all over again. We have a new beginning. Now, it doesn't always have to be at the beginning of the year, but I think all of us from time to time need to know there are new beginnings in our life, that they're not the exclusive property of the young or the wealthy or the lucky. They don't just take place once a year. In fact, whenever you're ready, there are chances to experience new beginnings. All of us have experienced new beginnings in different kinds of ways. It may be, like Harry, a whole new vocational beginning. It may be that something goes on within your family and it represents a new beginning, a new child, a new grandchild. It may be that there are new opportunities in your life personally. All you know is this: I have a chance for a new beginning. And today, as we begin the journey into the year 2022, and we look back at the year just past and anticipate the year to come, we recognize this is kind of a time to take stock of life, isn't it? This is a time to decide, okay, what do I want to do with what I've experienced, and what do I want to plan in the year to come? Some of us look back with joy and satisfaction at what this past year has provided. Some look back to the last year with eyes of sorrow and of loss. Some look back with regrets at decisions that didn't turn out the way we planned, and others cannot wait to see the fulfillment of what God began just this past year. There's a season for us of anticipating what God is yet to do. And in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, God gives us some principles to live by in those seasons of new beginnings. Some things we can take hold of and hang on to and know this is what's going to get me through in the year to come. This is what's going to provide for me the year that I'm waiting for God to provide. So let's take a few moments. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4, and let's look at what God has to say about new beginnings. And this is the first thing that Paul said to the Thessalonian believers. He said, new beginnings find their source in the things we remember. Nobody ever begins anything new in a vacuum. In fact, a wise person benefits from the things they have already learned. None of us begin anew and say, you know, everything that's happened to me up to this point, I'm just going to forget about that. I'm going to forget about the successes of the past. I'm going to forget about the failures of the past. I'm going to forget about the lessons I learned from the past. I'm just going to put it all aside and pretend that everything starts anew in a vacuum. That's just not true. In fact, we need to recognize what we have learned is part of who we are, and who we are is part of who we're going to be. And that means I need to take hold of the things I've learned, things that came easily, but more likely, things that I learned the hard way, and put them to work in the future that's yet to come. That's why Paul declared to the Thessalonians, "You received from us how you ought to walk and please God." Paul was saying to those Thessalonians, you've already received the things you need to know. To walk your Christian walk, to live your Christian life, you don't have to start from the beginning. You don't begin from scratch. You take the things you have learned and you hang on to the experiences that you took hold of the hard way, and you let those things teach you the things God still wants you to know. We already know what the Lord expects from us. He has made that clear. If you've spent any time in your life in the Word of God, then you already have a foundation for faith in the year to come. You already know that you've been given the truth you need to hang on to. Now it's just a matter of applying it again. What you've experienced in your past can often determine the depth of your ongoing walk with Christ. What am I saying? I am saying that when God builds you spiritually, God builds you gradually. Now, all of us at time to time may have some great experience of God's presence in a real way, and it may shake us to our core. But the truth is, most of the kind of Christian you're going to be is the kind of Christian you become, not great experience to great experience, but day to day to day. And it is what you do in your daily walk that determines when you're ready for those big experiences. We need to remember where we came from. We need to remember the God who has always been faithful to us. I love a story that Fred Craddock told about a father who sat down with his son. His son was getting ready to go away to college. It would be the first time that he ever left home. And his father sat down with him and he said, "Son, you know the kind of folks we are. We've always been working class folks. We've lived from paycheck to paycheck. And now that you're going away to school, I don't have a lot that I can give you in terms of material goods. I can't promise you that there's going to be money coming every week so that you can do whatever you want to do. I can't tell you that I'm going to be able to provide a brand new car for you to drive when you go away from here. But I can give you something. And that thing I give you is the most precious thing I can possibly imagine. And I want you to have it and carry it wherever you go." He said, "Son, I want to give you my name. It's the name that I've carried all of my life. It's the name my father had before me and his father had before him and his father. And as far as I know, there's never been a hint of anything shameful that's ever been connected to that name. Never a blemish. It is a name that I can walk around this town in, and when I do, my name will allow me to get a loan at the bank. My name will allow me to have access to people's offices. My name means something to people because I've always carried it and been careful with my name. Now, son, you're leaving home, and I want to give you my gift. I want to give you my name. And I want you to know, wherever you go, whatever you do, that name goes with you." Young man left home. He would never return again except for visits and holidays. But he often referred to that moment as the most meaningful moment of his life. "I will never forget the day my father gave me his name." And as believers, that's exactly the gift that we have been given. We have been given the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call ourselves Christians, not because it's a good generic term, but because that's who we are. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our name is associated with Him. And wherever we go and whatever we do, we recognize we go out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said, I urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus. I challenge you and empower you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And whatever we face in the year to come, one of the things we need to remember, it is that name that has made us who we are. Remember the God who made you. Remember the Lord who saved you. Remember the experiences that made you who you are. Remember the people that God has placed in your life to bless you. One of the greatest things you could do for yourself in the beginning of this new year is to take a journey backwards. Not just any kind of journey, take a spiritual journey backwards. Go back to the beginning. Back to your first memories of what it meant to know the Lord or to be in church, and begin to ask the question, who has God placed in my path in those steps along the way that mattered the most, that reminded me that I carry the name of the Lord Jesus? Because it is who you have been that can determine who you will be. And Paul also said to the Thessalonians that new beginnings are also forged in the present. One of the most damaging attitudes you can choose as you face a new year is to develop the one of these days syndrome. You know what I mean? We've got a whole new year in front of us, 364 days yet to live out in 2022. And there are great things we want to do and good things we want to accomplish and people we want to reach out to and things we want to do with our lives. And we can look at the future and we can see all of these goals and all of these plans and all of these challenges and say to ourselves, I'm going to see as many of these fulfilled as I possibly can this year. And I'm going to get around to it one of these days. But you know, I've got a whole year in front of me. There's no need to get into a big hurry. And in a few months, you begin to say, well, now that the cold weather's over with, now I can begin to get about doing some of those things I plan to do. And you reach the middle of the summer and you recognize there's a beginning to be a sense of urgency, but there's still plenty of time left. And then before you know it, you're looking back and you're saying to yourself, you know, I didn't get those done last year, but next year, and the one of these days syndrome can cause you never to accomplish anything that's truly valuable in your life. That's why the Bible says, you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Sanctification, that's a word that means holiness, but it really means living out a Christian life in a way that is consistent all the time and that is reaching toward everything God has planned for your life. And this is what Paul says. Paul says, this is the will of God for you. This is God's will for you right here, right now. The Christian life will be the most fulfilling experience you can imagine as long as you remember it's not just about remembering when you were saved and it's not just about thinking about what will happen after you die. It's all about what is going on today and tomorrow in your life. It is about how present your relationship is with the Lord. The Word of God speaks to your life right here, right now. And to the extent that your life is consistent with the Word, it will thrive. And to the extent that your life is inconsistent with the Word, you will forfeit His blessings. Now, that's not what I say. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says this is the will of God for you. Your sanctification. The way I like to picture it and describe it is a way that you've heard me describe it before. And it is, as we begin this year, as we live out our faith in the present, you recognize that the blessings of God are like an umbrella that spread open above you. We've needed one some recently. We may need it again soon. And you take that umbrella and you hold it over your head, and as long as it's up there, you're protected and guided and guarded. And that's where God wants you to be, is under the umbrella. But if you make the decision to step outside, then you forfeit the blessings and all of the benefits that could have been yours. And the Bible says this is God's will for you right here, right now, today, is that you live your life under the umbrella of God's blessings. And that you never step out to the left or to the right or to the front or to the back. You stay under the blessings of God. The Lord has given us His Word so we can understand what it is He wants us to know and how it is He wants us to live. Thessalonians tells you that you are to honor God in your life, that you're to honor God with your choices, embracing His standards, living according to His plan, depending upon His Holy Spirit day by day, that you're to honor God with your conduct. God does expect us to live as people of integrity, that He wants us to carry His name and to make His name glorified through our lives, to put the best we have into everything we do, and remember, we belong to God, and to honor God with your witness. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 tells us we are to walk properly toward those who are outsiders. In other words, your life, the way you live your life, day by day, is to be a living witness of the power and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul was saying to the Thessalonians. He was saying this, just remember this, once you carry that name, people are watching you to decide whether they're going to take the Lord seriously or not. Once you carry the name Christian, they're paying attention to who you are and what you do. Some years back, I was checking into a hotel. I was there in town to attend the Southern Baptist Convention, and as I was checking into the hotel, it was pretty obvious that the man who owned and ran the hotel was a very religious man, because he had religious arts and pictures up all along the walls and behind the desk. You could also tell this, but this man's religion was not Christian. He was obviously very fervently committed to the faith that he practiced. And I thought about that because I was standing there in a line behind a group of folks who were checking in. We were all trying to get ourselves in so that we could get on to convention things. And I particularly noticed a couple of guys who were in front of me, because they were very angry and they were very critical and abusive toward the staff, and they just wanted things done their way, and you need to handle it my way and just do it. And they were very rude toward the man who was handling the desk. And then they would turn and look at one another after they'd been rude to the man behind the desk. They began to talk to each other about, reckon who's going to be speaking at the pastor's conference today. Boy, I can't wait to get over there. I won't be with the brothers and sisters. By the time I had my turn and got to the desk, about the last thing I wanted that man to know was that I was a Southern Baptist pastor. And about the last thing he wanted to hear was anybody talking about how important it was to know Jesus. What am I saying? I'm just saying this. We walk with God every day, and we make every day count, and we let our lives count for Him. That faithfulness is measured in the day-to-day moments of life. It's not in those big occasions when you know everybody's watching that really matters. It's who you are when you don't know anybody's paying attention, but they are. And then Thessalonians tells us that new beginnings will find fulfillment in the future. Paul told the Thessalonians that his purpose in reminding them of their past and challenging them in the present was so that they could increase more and more. I want to see you become more and more who I have called you to be. So many times we find ourselves guilty of never looking ahead when it comes to the Lord. You plan your schedule for the day. You keep your calendar up to date. But you never really stop and ask, so what is the direction of my spiritual life? What am I hungry for the Lord to do within me? Let me ask you a question. What's your spiritual goal for 2022? How is it that you want to be different than you are today? What are the dimensions of your faith that just have not grown, but this year you want to see God do something? What am I saying? I'm saying be deliberate in your faith. Pay attention to what God is calling you to do. A healthy Christian life is always asking, what else does the Lord have in store for me? And anyone who decides they've grown enough or served enough or been challenged enough has chosen, I think I'll take the path of atrophy this year. I think this year, instead of asking God to do more, I'm just going to sit on the bench and step out for a little while. That's not the way God calls us to live out our faith. He is constantly calling us to discover new ways to be used by God. He is constantly placing us in positions and situations where we can grow and we can serve in ways we never have before. We just have to be paying attention. Some years ago, Christian evangelist named Sundar Singh was converted and felt called to serve the Lord in his native land. And one day he found himself traveling through the Himalayas in the company of a Buddhist monk. The wind grew bitter and cold and the snow began to fall in great sheets. And the monk warned Sundar Singh that if they did not arrive at a distant monastery by nightfall, they were going to perish. No man can survive in the weather that we're about to experience as the day grows dark. As the afternoon began to wane, they heard a cry for help, and they discovered a man who had fallen off the pathway and seriously injured himself. And the monk said to Singh, "Don't stop. God has brought this man here to his fate. And if we stop to help, it will cost us our lives." Sundar Singh replied, "God has sent me here to help my brother. I cannot abandon him." And with that, the monk traveled ahead quickly and soon left them behind. But Sundar Singh made a sling of his blanket. He strapped the man on his back and he resumed the journey. It was a struggle to make his way forward, and soon he found himself drenched in perspiration with the effort of trying to carry this man to the monastery ahead. And it was only when he thought he was reaching the end of his strength that he saw the lights of the monastery beckoning him. And he almost arrived at the door when he stumbled over something in the path. It was the frozen body of the monk who had abandoned them. Years later, a student asked Sundar Singh, "What is life's most difficult task?" And this is what he said: "Life's most difficult task is to have no burden to carry and nobody to serve." God gives us the future so that we can serve and we can accept the challenge and we can continue to carry the load in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's a new year. It's time for new beginnings. Remember whose name you carry. Make today a day to honor the Lord and be ready for the challenge of the future. And do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it funny that that's the truth that Paul gave to the Thessalonians 2,000 years ago, and it's truth that applies to you today and to me today. Established in the past, active in the present, committed for the future. That's God's call on our lives. Today, God may have a special call on your life. He may be calling you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and not a believer, this may be the day when His Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, "It's time to trust Jesus. You haven't had a name worth living for, but Jesus is that name." And in a moment, as we stand and sing our invitation, I invite you to come forward. I'd love to invite you, to help you come to know Christ as Savior. Or maybe God's calling you to be part of what He's doing at First Baptist Church, and that's part of His future plan for your life. Or maybe there's something else. We're going to stand, we're going to sing, as God speaks, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Watch, we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. When we go astray, blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray.
Been a good second day of the year in God's house. I'm glad we got to share this time together. And I just pray for you that God's going to bless you from what you have experienced, from what he's doing right now, and especially from the plan God has for your life in the year to come. Let's bow together for our final prayer, and then we'll dismiss ourselves with a song. Father, we do thank you that you are the God of the past and the present and the future, and that our hands are safe in your hands. Thank you, Lord, that you have plans for us, plans for our lives, plans for our homes, plans for our church. Help us, Lord, to discover and be faithful to your plans. In Christ's name, amen.